With God's help for this evening's reading and meditation, I'd like to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 8, and read the entire chapter. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. But though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And God bless the reading of his holy word, and let us bow before him in prayer. This chapter we have read was written to the church in Corinth. And Corinth was a very diverse city. They had people of multiple ethnicities, and it was just known for being kind of a melting pot, so to speak. And the church in Corinth was no different, especially because we know that there were many, many Jews who converted to Christianity, and also many who were, we can assume, pagans who served false gods before they were converted. So just as the city was a mix of people, so was the church in Corinth. And Apostle Paul had a very special relationship with this church in Corinth. He spent much time there. We read in Acts that Apostle Paul spent 18 months in Corinth. He lived among them. He knew them very well. He lived with Aquila and Priscilla. He lived with them because they were tent makers. They had the same profession that he did. It says in Acts, we can read that he went to the synagogue every Sabbath day and taught the Jews the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. He taught them the message of Jesus Christ every Sabbath day until they wouldn't hear it anymore. Many were converted and became Christians and helped establish the church in Corinth, and many of them didn't want to hear it anymore. So when all those had been converted that wanted to hear the message, and those that did not kicked him out of the synagogue, then he went to the Gentiles in Corinth and started preaching to them of Jesus Christ and what he had to offer. It was God's will that he would stay in Corinth for an extended period of time and teach. God told him not to fear what he would say to them, not to fear, but not to hold anything back. But God told him to speak forth his message, for he had many people in that city. It was God's will that he would be there. So the city in Corinth had, we can believe, a special place in Apostle Paul's heart. He knew them very well. And throughout these two letters that we have that he wrote to the church in Corinth, we see many, many issues addressed. And this chapter that we've read, chapter 8, speaks of food, meals, meat, being offered unto idols. And when we look at that on a surface level, we can think that that's really not relevant to us today. We can think we don't have idols, we don't worship idols openly, we don't really think about meat being offered unto idols. So we can think this really doesn't apply to us. But it does. The teachings of this chapter really do apply to us. Maybe the direct application of offering meat into idols doesn't apply to us, but what Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, is teaching these members in Corinth is very important for us and very relevant, very applicable for us today and in any age. So we can assume because many believers in Corinth, the Gentiles specifically, we can assume they served false gods before. They had this issue of, should they eat meat? Should they eat a meal that was once offered unto an idol? Would it be a sin for them to eat something that was given to an idol before they ate it? And Apostle Paul addresses that issue here in this chapter. And he says in verse 4 that the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. So what Apostle Paul is saying here is that it really doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. If you were to eat something that was offered to an idol, it's not going to defile you. We know that the Bible teaches that anything that enters into a man cannot defile him, but it's only those things that come out of the mouth that can defile him. So he's teaching here that it doesn't matter. In Christ, we know who Christ is. He is the one, he and his Father, the one and only living true God. So he's saying, he's teaching here that if you eat something that's offered to an idol, it doesn't matter. It's not going to defile you spiritually. But then he goes on, he says in verse 7, he says, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So he's saying there are some members here in this church in Corinth who are worried about this. They perhaps saw paganism serving false gods. They perhaps saw that as something that they had to stop. When they heard the message of Jesus Christ, they must have realized they cannot serve these false gods anymore. They have to serve Jesus Christ and him alone. But they were worried. Was this making them sin? And Apostle Paul here describes them as being weak. They had a conscience that was weak, and they didn't fully understand. We have to remember, this is at the beginning stages of Christianity. Christianity was still very new. And these members here in Corinth, some of them just didn't have this understanding that this wasn't going to defile them. And Apostle Paul recognized that. There are some that just had an issue with this problem. And he instructs the believers here in Corinth to never do anything that would make their brother weak. Never do anything that would upset him. Never do anything that would potentially cause him to sin. He says here that in the last verse that we read, in verse 13 of this chapter, he says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. He knew that this idol that the food was offered to, was no god at all. It was fake. It was a false god. There was only one God. He knows this. He is teaching that this doesn't matter. But he's also saying, if my brother has a problem with this, I don't want to do anything that's going to upset him or cause him to sin. I'm going to understand the thoughts that he has, and I'm going to be careful around him. And he's saying, I will not eat anything that is offered to an idol because for the conscience sake of my brother. And this is very applicable to us today. To understand where we're coming from, we all come from different backgrounds. We have different upbringings. We have different thoughts, different opinions on certain matters. We have to understand one another, to forbear one another. That is talked about many, many times in Scripture. And that's the focus of this chapter, and actually the next two chapters speak a lot of that as well. 1 Corinthians 9 and 10 speak a lot about being careful not to offend, not to upset, not to cause someone to sin through your actions. As we pray together, we have to make sure our liberties, the freedoms that we have in Christ, we have to make sure that those are not going too far. Where our liberties that we have in Christ, we have to make sure they don't go too far that they cause someone else to fall into sin. If some brother has an issue here with eating this meat, Apostle Paul says he will not eat it for his sake. Paul knows that that's not going to defile him, but he's thinking about his brother. He was always thinking about doing others good. That must be our attitude as well. And a very similar theme is written of in the book of Romans, chapter number 14. Very similar thoughts. It says, starting in verse 1 of Romans 14, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." So he's beginning here in Romans chapter 14 and saying, there are going to be new believers who he calls them weak. They have a very basic, perhaps, understanding of God's word and God's will. They are weak. They need to learn. They need to mature. He's saying, when you receive these into the church, when you teach them, don't argue with them. Don't fight with them. Don't argue every point with them. He's saying that doesn't do anything good. That brings about no blessings for anyone. He's saying don't dispute with them. But instead, understand where they're coming from. There are some that he's describing here. Some think they could eat anything, and some did not eat certain things. And we can maybe assume that that's because of the Old Testament laws of what it was that they could eat. They were in the law of Moses. They were limited to what things they could eat. Some things were considered unclean. Of course, we know in the New Testament that it's taught that any food is clean. We can eat anything we want. Nothing defiles us. That was shown to Peter as the sheet came down from heaven with the unclean food. Peter said, "I will not eat that unclean thing." And God told him, "Anything that I have cleansed, it's not unclean." Teaching him that in Christ, there are no more dietary restrictions. But again, there's some that maybe did not understand that. But God receives them. He says, God receives him even in that state. Even in that state that brother may be in that has a little bit of a lack of understanding, God understands him and he receives him. And he continues in Romans 14, he says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." Even though someone could be weak, and again, have this limited understanding, God can make him strong, can make him stand. Who are we to look at our brother or sister and to think that, oh, their understanding may not be as good as mine, and I'm going to write them off, they're not truly my brother or sister? That's a horrible thought. God receives them. Who are we to judge another man's servant? We are all God's servants. We're all doing our best to please him. Let's never write each other off. Let's never think that our understanding is something, for it's not. And in fact, we read that in 1 Corinthians 8. He speaks of knowledge. He says, "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." When we think we have some knowledge within ourselves, and we think we understand something, all that does is puff us up, makes us think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But he's instructing us instead to put on charity, for charity edifieth. Charity, of course, we know is love. "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." Anytime that we think our understanding is so great, really all that we are showing is that we don't have any understanding at all. Just as it's written in 1 Corinthians 9, the next chapter, a verse that we all know very well, that to think, if we think that we are standing, we must be careful. Take heed lest we fall. That is who we are without Christ. We think that we are something. We think we have some knowledge. But all we are doing is showing that we have no understanding at all. We do not understand the ways of Christ. And he writes here about how charity edifieth. And a few chapters later in 1 Corinthians, to this very church in Corinth, he writes one of the most well-known chapters in the Bible about love. Charity. 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about how charity, love, is the answer to anything, any problem, any dispute, anything, any sin against each other, that all is solved by love. That is the answer. So our knowledge should never puff us up. It should never make us think that we know something. Going back to Romans 14, he writes, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." So there again, he's explaining there will be differences of opinion among believers. We will not agree on every single point. That's not possible. We're all individuals, and we all have our own thought processes, again, our own upbringings that make us think a certain way. We're not going to agree on every point. We have to understand each other and not dismiss each other. That's what he's teaching here in a few chapters, Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. He's teaching not to dismiss someone, not to, and most importantly, not to do anything that would make them stumble, that would make our brother or sister stumble or trip or sin. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In Romans 14, verse 21, it says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Don't do anything that can cause someone harm. And the example that comes to mind, at least in my mind, is alcohol. It's the simplest example. If our brother or sister has an issue, or a friend has an issue with alcohol, and maybe we don't, maybe that's not our issue at all. Maybe our struggle is something completely different. But we know that someone we are with has that struggle. He's teaching us here, don't drink that alcohol in front of your brother or sister who has that issue. Don't do it, because you're going to make him weak. You're going to make it more likely that he's going to fall into sin. Yes, of course, everyone will give an answer for his or her own sin. We will not give an answer for each other's sins. We all answer for our own selves, what things we have done or not done. But if we lead someone about, if we make it easier for them to sin, then we are partakers of that sin. We will also give an answer for that. Perhaps not for the sin itself, but we will give an answer because we have made it easier for them. We have put a stumbling block in their way for them to trip over and fall into sin. That's what he's teaching here. It's so important that we don't do that as Christians, that we be careful, of everything in our lives, what we do, what we partake of, how we speak, everything. We must be so careful not to cause someone else harm. And Apostle Paul understood that very well. He understood that people were different and they all had different opinions. And he tried his best. He tried his best to work with them, whether someone was new in the faith or perhaps older in the faith, or whether they came from a Gentile background or a Jewish background. The Apostle Paul knew what things he could speak to them and show them that would help them. He brought himself down to their level and tried to understand where they were coming from, to help them. That was always the Apostle Paul's goal, was to help bring more souls to Christ, not to offend them, not to cause them to stumble. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, we read, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." A perfect example of how our lives are to be as Christians, shining forth as lights, going to people with maybe different backgrounds, different understandings, and teaching them the ways of Jesus Christ and the way that they would understand it, not diluting the gospel at all, but making them understand what Christ really requires of us. To the Jews, he became as a Jew. He taught them in a way that they would understand. He knew that some people he was talking to had a full understanding of the Old Testament law, and some people had no clue about it because they were not Jewish. They were of a Gentile background. He knew how to persuade them all. In Acts, we have an example of the Apostle Paul forbearing and being this light, being as a Jew to help save some. In Acts 16, there is a certain disciple named Timotheus, and he was the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So Timotheus had a Jewish mother but a Greek father. And he was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. He had a good reputation, this Timotheus. And it says, him would Paul have to go forth with him. Paul wanted Timotheus to go forth with him and teach and preach about Jesus Christ. And it says that Paul took Timotheus and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So the Jews in this time of early Christianity, they were holding on to that teaching of circumcision. They thought it meant something. In the Old Testament law, being circumcised meant something. It meant you were offered to God. But in the New Testament, that's done away with. And Apostle Paul even writes multiple times In Christ, circumcision or uncircumcision is nothing. It's not anything. It doesn't matter. But because Paul knew that the Jews in this area would perhaps be offended by it, would perhaps not like it, that he wasn't circumcised, he circumcised Timotheus, knowing full well that it meant nothing for him spiritually, but he did it because of others. Again, this forbearance and this love that he had for them. This is love in action. This is a perfect example of love in action. When we do something that we know doesn't really mean anything, but we want to do it because of for the sake of our brother or sister that may think it means something. That's what love teaches us to do, to understand where we're coming from, to understand that we all have different opinions, but that it cannot drive us apart. That must, and actually it must draw us closer together. For in those differing of opinions, we can see that we have one Lord and one God that is abiding over all of us. We try our best to serve him and him alone. So these differences of opinions can really draw us closer. The devil would have these opinions, these differing of opinions, to draw us away from each other. But God is teaching us to serve one another in love and to gain more and more brothers and sisters for his kingdom. And we do that through love and through forbearance. Not accepting sin, that's different. We can never accept someone's sin. We must teach them that that is not right. It must be corrected. But there are differences of opinion that we can have that are not sinful. And we must understand where we're coming from. It's very important. It's very important that we don't right away dismiss someone because they have a different opinion. Who are we, again, to judge another man's servant? Perhaps God thinks that our brother or sister is very strong, is a very faithful servant of his. Who are we then to tell him that, or even to think, maybe not even to tell him, who are we to even begin to think, oh, that brother or sister is nothing. I know better. Who are we to judge God's servant? That's not our role at all. Our role is to serve him the best that we can and to gain more souls for his kingdom. Is there anything that we do or anything that we say or wear or insert anything? Is there anything about us that we do because I know that someone doesn't like it? I do it because I know it's going to drive that person nuts. I do it because I want to disturb him, want to take away his peace. If so, we do not have the mind of Christ one bit. The mind of Christ would never teach us to do that. The mind of Christ is completely separate from that. The mind of Christ says, understand where your brother's coming from. Understand that his understanding may not be perfect, neither is yours. We have to see that our understanding ourselves is not perfect, not one bit. We have all fallen short of his glory, of his grace. We have all fallen short, we have all stumbled. But at no time should we do anything just to jab at someone, just to get under their skin, because I know that they won't like that thing that I'm whatever, doing, saying, wearing, even thinking. That's not Christ-like. We have to be careful that behavior would never describe us. We must become, as Apostle Paul did, we must become all things to all men, that we might gain more souls again for his kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the last three verses, it's a beautiful summary of what Apostle Paul is trying to teach here. He says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. This is the perfect description of our attitude that we should have one toward another. Giving no offense, not seeking our own profit, but the profit of many. Can we honestly say, as it's written here in 1 Corinthians 10:31, can we honestly say that everything we do, that we do all those things to the glory of God? Let's examine ourselves. Let's examine our lives, how we live, what things we are doing. Are we doing anything just to spite others? Are we doing anything because we know someone won't like it? That's not profiting them at all. It's not profiting us either. It's not profiting our own souls. God will reveal those things unto us. He will always reveal, if there's a sin in our heart that's harbored there, God will always reveal it to us. If we think, oh, God's not revealing anything to me, I must be perfect, that means that we are probably ignoring those thoughts that God is trying to put in our hearts. He might be trying to put something in our hearts to make us realize we are sinning, and we are blocking it off. We are cutting it off before it can even get to us. That's not the way, again, that's not the way of Christ. Let's examine ourselves daily, whether we be in the faith, and then try to help those brothers and sisters and friends that may not have a perfect understanding. None of us have a perfect understanding. Let's help each other to build each other up, to never put these stumbling blocks in each other's ways, but that we would truly serve one another. That is what love is. It's service. That's what the entire gospel message of Jesus Christ is to serve, to do good to others, not to yourself, to think about how you can serve someone else. How can you wake up in the morning and help someone else, make their life easier, whether that's physically or spiritually? How can you be a blessing to someone? That's what he's teaching here in 1 Corinthians 8. So even though the application in this time specifically was about food being offered unto idols, we know that specific application, again, is outdated, but the teaching is not. God's word is written for a reason. Every chapter, every word in God's holy word is here for a reason, that we can learn from it and, again, apply it to our lives. May God give us the grace and the strength we need each and every day. Amen.
So Corinth, as we heard, was a city, a contemporary city, but and that city was really wholly given unto idolatry. And there was new Christians in that city, Christians that actually had come out of idolatry. So for them, this was a very, very big thing to eat meat that was offered unto idols. Because what had happened is the people would bring the best that they had, and they would offer it to the idols in the temples. And after the meat was there, or after it was there for a short time, they would sell it in the meat markets, which was run by the temple. And Paul is saying here that if you have the liberty to go and eat, be careful. Because there are others in Corinth who came out of idolatry. For them, they know what that is in their mind, and they have to stay away from that. And they don't understand what you understand as it's just me. So he says, be careful. And this is what this chapter is about, as the brother mentioned in closing. And it was mentioned in the prayer, and it's mentioned in this hymn that we sang. It's all about helping one another. This church, Paul calls them carnal. He says, you're babes in Christ. And you know, the contemporary Christian church today can be called the very exact same thing. Babes in Christ and carnal minded. This chapter is for us. It's for us. Peter, we have to think about Simon Peter when he was told by God. He says, when the sheet came down from heaven, he says, take and eat. Peter, let's think about who Peter is. He's an apostle. He was with Jesus. He had forsaken Jesus. He learned a lesson. Jesus called him and forgave him and told him, go feed my sheep. With boldness, he is preaching. Suddenly, a sheep comes down from heaven and he says, go eat. And he says, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything that was common or unclean. So he tells the Lord, he disobeys, he calls him Lord, but disobeys him. Do we sometimes call our Lord, Lord, and disobey him? We're not careful to fulfill these very things here. Paul is establishing knowledge. He says knowledge puffs up. Picture a balloon. When it's puffed up, it blows up. That's what knowledge is. Love doesn't do that. Love fills us. Love fills. And he's saying, rather than have your actions be guided by your knowledge, let your actions be guided by your love. And in doing so, he says, you're not going to offend these Christians in Corinth who used to worship and offer sacrifices to these idols that they now cannot have the liberty to partake of this meat. Don't do it then, for their sake. And look at what he says here. Through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, and for whom Christ died, But when you sin so against the brethren, look at what he says there, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. He says, so if meat make my brother to offend, Paul says, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. God forbid, Paul says, I won't eat meat. As long as the world exists, if my brother is going to be offended at me, take the time. Walk in love. Let love guide everything we do and say. Because, you know, think about this. Why would the weak brother perish here? If I am eating meat and it's a liberty to me, and it's not to him, but he's seeing that I'm doing it. But to him, his weak conscience is offended, but he will do it against his conscience. He's sinning. Because to him, he knows what that is and what it means to him, and yet he's partaking of it. Do we do that maybe in other liberties that we take? Maybe a young Christian will look at me. It doesn't have to be a young Christian. Any Christian will look at me and say, oh. He has the liberty to do that? I never did that. My conscience tells him not to, but I see he can. And now my actions will cause another one to sin. I've sinned against Christ. This verse that we sang, I'd just like to read it in closing. It's just, I think it just gathers everything together, what we read tonight. Spur then one another onward, meek and lowly, shunning strife. Listen, shunning strife. In the Savior's footsteps walking, who gave up for us his life. Let each one arouse the other, that our efforts day by day all be given to the Master, that we please him on the way. On the way. Amen.